Let me encourage you to take your copy of the scriptures and let's continue worshiping Jesus by looking at what he has to say to us in his word. We'll be looking at the book of John again in the 21st chapter again. And we'll be looking at several different texts. So if you have a Bible, have your flipping fingers ready. But if not, that's all right. There's one in the pew rack in front of you, or there's everything I say, God willing, scripture-wise, will be on the screen behind me here. But the focal text for this morning is verses 18 and 19 of John 21, continuing a series on what Jesus is risen from the dead. So what now? How does he interact with his people? How does he act with us? How does he talk with us? What kind of relationship can we have with him? And by God's good grace to us, the Spirit inspired some gospel writers to record for us some words about how that looks and how that happens, and they are so good. If you've been here, you'll know we've spent a lot of time talking about what happens to us as far as our relationship with Jesus. And Easter Sunday, we looked at the peace that we get because God raised him from the dead. And then 2 weeks ago, we saw that he invites us to breakfast with him, invites us to eat with him and fellowship with him in that way. And then last week, we saw where Jesus restored Peter and invites him into a relationship by saying, "Do you love me?" That's a question about relationship and wanting to have a relationship with someone. And I love that. That's why I'm a Christian. That's why I do what I do, because of what Jesus did on the cross. I am set free. All who believe are set free, and we're able to experience that peace-filled and joy-filled relationship with him. But he didn't do it just for us to keep it to ourselves, did he? If we miss the point, I mean, if we get that, but don't obey him, we've missed the whole point. Jesus is Savior, yes, but he's also Lord. He's not Savior or Lord, he's Savior and Lord. And if we really grasp that he loves us so much that he'd give his life for us, then why wouldn't we want to obey? Because if he loves us that much, what is he going to call us to do that's not for our good? You see? And so this text, I'll be honest, is a little hard, a little harsh, because I like the whole peace and Savior part. But if I really understand that, then I won't be scared of the other. Because he's not out to get us. He's for our good. Let's stand in honor of God's word and read these two verses together. John 21, verses 18 and 19. This is right after they had breakfast, right after Jesus had the conversation with Peter, where he restores him after he blew it three times the night Jesus was arrested. And this is, he's just picking up where we left off last week. Verse 18, "Truly I tell you," Jesus saying this to Peter, "when you were younger, you would tie your belt and walk wherever you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will tie you and carry you where you don't want to go." He said this to indicate by what kind of death Peter would glorify God. And after saying this, he told him, "Follow me." Jesus, would you help me make sense of this? Help me be faithful, and may your Spirit run rampant, helping us surrender for our freedom. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You can be seated. There's some weeks I read a text and I get in the study and I cannot wait. It comes easy. It's just flowing. I know where I'm going. I know what's going on in the text, and it's just very easy and smooth flowing. It's like a hot knife through butter, you know? Just, oh yeah, just nice and easy and smooth. And there are other weeks where I read the text and I get in the study and I'm like, I don't have a clue. I read and I study and I think, okay, I think I know what's going on here. But that's one part, by the way, of teaching. If you know if you've ever taught or been a teacher and preacher, you know it's one thing to understand what's going on. It's another thing to try to communicate it to where it makes sense to the people you're teaching to, and to try to apply it. That's part of the game as well. And I knew pretty soon what was going on here, but I just had a hard time thinking, how do I apply this? Like a hot knife through stone. yeah, not good. And so this week was one of those hot knife through stone kind of weeks. And I was just struggling. I'm reading and I'm hitting my head on my desk. Just what? How do I apply this? Because you know what Jesus is saying here? Jesus is saying, Peter, when you were young, you were in control of your life. But when you're old, somebody's going to take you by the hand and they're going to tie you with clothes you don't want to wear and they're going to stretch you out and you're going to die. And we know history tells us that Peter was crucified upside down. And on his way to his crucifixion, the reason he was crucified upside down is because he said, I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Savior. I'll be crucified upside down. And so this prophecy here in John 21 is fulfilled. And John even goes to say, this is the way that Peter would show that his life was worthy of, or excuse me, Jesus was worthy of more than just his life. He'd glorify God in this. And I read this and I'm like, I hadn't seen many people, that happened to many people here in Williamson County. I mean, y'all may know a few who's been crucified upside down, but I don't know. I don't know very many people that have been crucified upside down. What in the world? Now, if I were in China or India, I may be a little easier. But here I am in Williamson County. So what's going on there? And how can I help make it sense? And so often as Jesus does, as I'm beating my head on my desk and I'm reading, late in the week, it's getting nervous time. Like, I may have to go to sermons.com and steal one time. Just kidding. Just seeing if you were listening. I'm reading through this devotional book called Things Not Seen by John Bloom. And he makes this quote, and it hits me. And by the way, I recommend that. Things Not Seen, John Bloom. If you're having trouble in your devotional time, get it. If you don't like it, I'll give you a month. No, I won't. You'll like it. And he says this. He said, you are your truest self when your eyes are fixed on Jesus, when you are following him in faith, and when you are serving others in love with the grace gifts God has assigned to you. You are your truest self when your eyes are fixed on Jesus, when you are following him in faith, and when you are serving others in love with the grace gifts God has assigned to you. I read that and I was like, that's it. That's the point. That's what's going on here. Peter's saying, with you is who I really am. Following you is my true self. It comes out when whatever you ask me to do, that's where I find who I am. I love that. There are two parts to this, that statement. It's going to use this kind of my outline this morning for the next few minutes. One has to do with lordship. Fix our eyes on Jesus, follow him in faith. The other has to do with serving others. And here's my outline. Here's how I've summarized it, just to make it a little easier. You're your truest self when total control is given to Jesus. That's the first part. And second, you are your truest self when you serve others with Jesus and for Jesus. I believe that's what's going on in John 21, 18 and 19. Let's look at that first one for a second. And I'm just summarizing what I believe this quote is saying, and I believe the quote captures John 21, 18 and 19. You are your truest self when total control is given to Jesus. You know what I love about Peter? Is that he's just like us. He's a control freak. You know a control freak? Now a bunch of lying Southern Baptist people. Do you know any control freaks? Yeah, you are one. We all want control. Now there may be somebody in your life that may just try to have it a little bit more. And you may have did this to your spouse or somebody. I hope you didn't for the sake of your marriage. But all of us want control. We want to manage it. We want to make, we think we know how to fix it and how to get it done. And our way is the best way. And Peter was no different. Okay? Peter was a control freak. And I love that about him because he identifies with virtually all of us. And let me just show you. Turn, if you have your Bible, turn back to Luke chapter 5 quickly. Let me show you what I mean. Luke chapter 5. Where is Luke? It's a book backwards. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Luke 5. If you don't have your Bible, that's okay. It's going to be on the screen behind you. This is when Jesus first called the disciples. And the disciples go fishing and they don't have good luck. All right? This is the first calling of the disciples. I want you to watch something here. Pick it up with me in verse 8 of Luke chapter 5. Excuse me, verse 4. Where am I? Yes, chapter 4 of Luke 5. I'm sorry. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Master, Simon replied, we've worked hard all night long and caught nothing. Wish I could have heard the tone of his voice, but if you say so. But if you say so, I'll let down the nets. When they did this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets began to tear. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. Excuse me, go away from me because I am a sinful man, Lord. Now think about that for just a second. Peter was a very, very successful businessman, very successful fishing business. He probably would have lived in a nice neighborhood in Williamson County. He was getting things done, had a successful job, and he'd been fishing all night, had a rough night. And he's done fishing for the night, fixing to clean his nets, and Jesus, this guy he just now met, says, throw your nets on the other side for a catch. And he's like, oh my, we've been fishing all night, I know how to do this, Jesus. And you know the story if you were paying attention, throws it over the net, gets so much that the net begins to tear, and it's just an incredible catch. It's like winning the fishing lottery. If he had had a cell phone, he'd have called his wife, quit your job, honey, we've got it made. One of those things, one of those where this windfall was going to last a long time. It was a monstrous catch of fish. Peter's response shocks me. Does it you? I would expect Peter to say, can we go back out again? Why, they're biting? I know they jumped in nets then, but just bear with me. Can we go out again? Or, I'm going to go make a contract real quick. I need you as my business partner. Woohoo! Jesus! But he doesn't do that. What does he do? Gets down on his knees. Get away from me, please. There's no please in my Bible. I'm just from Alabama. Get away from me. I'm sinful. What? That's weird. Why does he do that? I do the same thing. Oftentimes, when the windfall comes, I don't want Jesus around. I know my heart, and I don't want to have to answer to Jesus when I get the raise or get the promotion or get a nice gift. Depart from me, Jesus. Peter knew that either Peter or Jesus had to leave, and Peter wasn't ready to leave yet. No. I'm in control of this. Don't you ask anything of this. This is mine. I want this. I'm going to determine how I do this. I've got it, Jesus. Get. Don't come and ask anything of this. Get away from me. It's amazing to me. And I do it too. This is not I need a mirror right here, okay? But I have a lot of people ask me to pray for them regarding financial situations and when we get in a bind and when there's circumstances where they need help, and that's good. I love that. Nothing wrong with that. But I've never had anybody ask me to pray for God to give them wisdom and how to handle their investments, how to handle their raises, how to handle their promotion. Never get any prayer requests for that. It's interesting, isn't it, that Peter begged Jesus to get him out of the water when he was sinking. But when there's a windfall of fish, he says, Peter's a control freak. And I know because I are one. Mark Buchanan, the author of Your God Is Too Safe, puts it this way. He says, I want to be rescued but not bothered, comforted but never disrupted, soothed but not disturbed. I love you, Jesus! From here. And we miss the point. If he really loves us, and if he really gave his life for us, if he calls us to do something, it's for our good. Serving Jesus is hard, yes, but it's full. Not serving Jesus is hard, yes, but very empty. Now turn the page over to, turn back to John chapter 21 real quick. If you've been paying attention the last several weeks, did you know the exact same thing happened in post-resurrection Jesus with the disciples? Do you know they go fishing again? That's what fishermen do, by the way. They just go all the time. And they went fishing again. This was after Jesus had risen from the dead. And the exact same thing happens. They hadn't seen Jesus in a week up until this point. They were probably in a wad thinking that Jesus was done with them because what had happened the night of his arrest and crucifixion. And so they want to go back and do something that they're good at. Look at verse 3. Pick it up with me, verse 3 of John chapter 21. Watch this. This is fascinating to me. I'm going fishing, Simon Peter said to them. We're coming with you, they told him. And they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught. Thank you for the three people that are with me. When daybreak came, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Friends, Jesus called to them, you don't have any fish, do you? They didn't know it was Jesus. And John tells us, no. That's probably the PG version. They're fishermen. They didn't know it was Jesus. Blankety blank blank, no. Let's be real, people. Y'all are acting way too religious. Verse 6. Cast the net on the right side of the boat, he told them, and you'll find some. So they did, and they were unable to haul it in because of the large number of fish. The disciple, the one Jesus loved, said to Peter, it's the Lord! When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tied his outer clothing around him, for he had taken it off, and plunged into the sea. Since they were not far from land, about 100 yards away, the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish. Don't you love how Peter leaves them to do the work? Verse 9. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish lying on it and bread. Bring some of the fish you've just caught, Jesus told them. So Simon Peter climbed up and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn. I love this. Now, there's a lot of details here, and several of you have asked me about the 153. What's the significance of that? And there are so many opinions out there, it'll turn you purple of what 153 is. You know what I think is going on why John tells us there were 153 fish? Come on. Because he was there. He counted them. It's his way of saying, I was there. There were that many. And oh yeah, nets didn't even break. Miracle. How do you know that they were 100 yards away? I was there. I believe that's why it says 153 fish. You know, when I've gone fishing with my dad, when we've had a bad day, and somebody says, how many did you catch? A few. But if we've had a good day and we caught a lot, we count them. But you know what I love? In Luke chapter 5, when Peter was just starting to get it, he had a large haul of fish, and he said, Jesus, get away. But in John 21, death, burial, and resurrection, out of the tomb, they have a large catch of fish, and Peter puts on his swim trunks and goes to Jesus and leaves the fish. I love that. This is John's way of saying, here's how life works. You want to be your truest self. It's understanding he's not out to get you, but he's for you. And if he asks you for all the fish, you give it to him. But if he asks for none of the fish, you don't give it to him. But you say, whatever you wish, your Savior and Lord. I am my best self when I am with you and I am surrendered to you. And when he caught it then, who cares about the fish? I'm going to Jesus because he's worth it. And therefore, Jesus could say in John 21:18, truly I tell you, when you were younger, you would tie your belt and walk wherever you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will tie you and carry you where you don't want to go. He said this to indicate what kind of death Peter would glorify God. And after saying this, he told him, follow me. Isn't that beautiful? Follow me. I'm the king of the universe. I'm your Savior. You, Peter, follow me. That's good news if you've blown it and you think if you can ever be used again. You tell Satan to shut up. I am so sick of hearing people say, I've blown it. I can't be used again. If that's true, this wouldn't be in the Bible. Peter blown it worse than any of us have. And Jesus said, follow me, feed my sheep. I love it. John Bloom says, you are your truest self when your eyes are fixed on Jesus, when you are following him in faith. The way I say it, you are your truest self when total control is given to Jesus. You are. Do you believe that? Let me introduce the second part because it really goes into next week's sermon. And so I'm tempted to shut her down yet, but I can't do that. Y'all'd be way too happy if I did that. So I want to point out something to you. This will spearhead us into next week as we close out this series next week. John Bloom also said the second part of that statement that he made that really just helped me grasp what I think is going on here. He says, you're your truest self when you're serving others in love with the grace gifts God has assigned to you. And I've kind of summarized that. The way I understand it is, you are your truest self when you serve others with Jesus and for Jesus. You follow him, and usually he will follow you where people, he will lead you to where people are. And you're not doing things to earn his favor. That's not what I mean by for. But you're serving him with him in order for others to know this Jesus that has changed you. For others to see and behold this Jesus. You say, where do you get that in John 21, 18 and 19? Well, how do you think the man got crucified upside down? By keeping his mouth shut? You're not dangerous if you keep your mouth shut. Chick-fil-A wouldn't have gotten any trouble if they hadn't gone to New York City. Did y'all read that? Chick-fil-A. Jesus will send you where people are. Some will receive it, some won't. Some will say, God sent you to rescue me. Some will say, get away from me and don't call it sin. Some will be killed by being crucified upside down. Some won't. Jesus doesn't save you and give you peace and y'all spend breakfast together and restore a relationship with you to keep it to yourself, to go in a cave somewhere and sing kumbaya the rest of your life. He does these things in order to give you confidence to live for his glory. Easter Sunday morning, I preached on John 20. And it about killed me to leave this out, but I knew I was coming back to it and this Sunday and next Sunday. But look what he says. Look across the page in chapter 20, verse 21 of John. Watch this. If you were here Easter Sunday, you hopefully you remember. If not, you should have been here. Verse 21, Jesus said to them again, peace to you. Now watch what he says right after that. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Here's why I'm giving you peace. God sent me to restore life to men and women. I'm sending you with that same message. He goes on in verse 22. After saying this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. That's not saying go and tell people that you can bring sin, you can forgive sins. That's his way of saying, you know how people can be forgiven. You know how people can be set free. It's found in me. If they receive me, you can tell them their sins are forgiven. If they don't, they're not. But the point I want to make here is that when Jesus sets you free, he sets you free to go into people's lives, to be involved with people's relationships. That's why he does it. He puts people in your path in order for you to make this known to them. We just looked, we won't read them again, but in Luke chapter 5, in that first catch of fish, when he's just calling his disciples, do you know what he says at the end of that text? They just caught this huge amount of fish. And Jesus says, you know what? From now on, you're not going to be catching fish. You're going to be fishing for people. And they would not have missed the point in John 21. You know what I love about John 21? It's very convicting to me. I've been Southern Baptist boy all my life. I have heard every way under the sun of how to share Jesus, how to present the gospel, how to make him known, and I wouldn't change it for the world. There is something about having as many tools in your toolbox as you can possibly have. But I can be real honest with you with this as well. There are so many times when I go out in my own strength and I catch nothing, if you will. And you know what's freeing about this text? If we would just follow Jesus, we would see supernatural things happen. It's his way of saying, it ain't hard. Go with me. Go where I'm going. And you'll catch people. And guess what? You'll get about 153 of them and the net won't break. And then last week, do you remember? Three times Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Three times Peter said back, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And what did Jesus say after each of those? In some shape, form, or fashion, it had to do with, okay, go be with people. Go be with people. You are your truest self when you're surrendering to the Lordship of Jesus and you understand that that sends you out to serve others in love. Now, it's going to look different for everybody. It's going to look crazy different for everybody. We're going to get into that more next week. But you know what I love about this is it's John's way of saying to us that Peter finally realized that he's sick and tired of life being all about him, but he's finding that true life comes when he's given his life for somebody else. That's where life is. Peter's saying, you know what? I'm sick and tired of fishing and catching nothing. I'm ready to go be with Jesus because that's where my true self is. Yeah. You know what this text really teaches? What else it teaches? Anybody in Williamson County can find fulfillment. There are a lot of successful businessmen and women in Williamson County. A lot of very successful businessmen and women in Williamson County. Hallelujah. But there's also a lot of men and women in Williamson County who are living a life that looks like they've been fishing all night long and ain't caught anything. Been going through the rat race, trying to get fulfillment with the next thing, trying to get satisfaction with the next thing, and they're living life without Jesus. But this text shows that anybody can find fulfillment when they say, you know what, Jesus, he loves me. And if he calls me to follow him, he's going to be for my good. So why wouldn't I surrender to him? So here's what I want you to do. I want you to ask yourself if you are realizing your truest self. Have you given yourself over to Jesus, full total control to Jesus? And you say, well, yeah, I did that when I was 8. No, I'm not talking about that. If you haven't trusted with your life with Christ yet, I would encourage you to do that. I mean that, but I don't just mean that. What is it in your life that Jesus doesn't have control over that's keeping you from being your truest self? What is it? What is it that Jesus is asking of you and you're saying, depart from me? What is it? I don't know. I know what's up in my life, but I don't know what's up in yours. But I want you to say to Jesus, if you want to find your truest self and be free, it's yours. What is it? Maybe it's God calling you to a person. I want to list a litany of things here. I'm just not going to do that. What is it that you're saying to Jesus, I don't want you here? You can keep the arm up if you want, but you're not experiencing your truest self. Let's learn from Peter, the control freak, Peter, the Williamson County resident. Wherever you lead me, Jesus, I know it's for my good. You take it. I'm going to pray. Brad's going to lead us in a chorus. And I'm going to give everyone here an opportunity to respond, whether while the song's going on or after the song and we're dismissed. I'll be standing down front. We'd love to talk to you. This altar is open. If you just need to do some business with the Lord, there'll be some people flanking me to my right and to my left here at these tables to talk with you, to pray with you. Maybe you hadn't surrendered baptism. Maybe you hadn't surrendered church membership. Maybe you hadn't surrendered salvation. It's what we're here for. As you exit this morning, there'll be some men at the back doors to take that communication card that Tiffany was talking about. Maybe you've got a prayer need that you, like myself, or one of the staff pray about. You can put that on the back of the communication card. Maybe you came ready to give tithes and offerings. Maybe it's a financial thing that you're just scared to death of Jesus taking over, and you just need to be reminded that he's not out to get you. He's for you. I don't know. But I want to encourage you to respond in however the Lord leads. And just tell the devil whatever that is, and he's telling you no, remind you, he doesn't want your truest self. He wants you to be frustrated. He wants you to live as if you've been fishing all night and ain't caught a thing. And that's no way to live. Jesus, help us. Show me, show us what's preventing us from being our truest self. May we surrender to you in joy, not to earn your love. We've already gotten it, but because we've got it. And Father, send us out to serve others the way you've wired us. Teach us what that looks like. And know that you've done this in order to send us out into the world. May we follow you. Pray this in Christ's name.